Pacific Home, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch, and a talk show where other talk shows wish they could go but to the places that we go, but they can't go there because we're there. Something like that.
Doesn't matter any longer, does it?
Yeah, it does matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter any longer, does it?
Well, I mean, it's pretty much everybody knows that.
Yeah, well, maybe, and then again, maybe we've got a few more seeds to sow here, folks. Nonetheless, and I don't even know why I'm saying what I'm saying. All I'm telling you, when we talk about leaving the Talk Radio Network platform, I don't think I have to even mention that. You know, the show will continue. Why did I even say anything?
Well, there was a press release.
Yeah, there was some things said. So we're leaving one company and we're moving into another company, okay? That's all that I meant to say. One other thing. With the release next week of our press release, you'll know a lot of other specifics. Our radio stations are going to know these. Our affiliates are going to know these. But you, our listeners, will also know. There's going to be information as to station. There'll be information as to time. There'll be information as to start dates. We're going to continue the show on the 25th, all the way straight on through. We're going to be featuring some of our archived material over the air as a way of introducing you to some of the comedy gold that we have in our archives, and then, of course, our live shows. But just be assured that the show continues uninterrupted. And then, toward the end of July, early part of August, begins in earnest a presentation of our one-man show. And we'll tell you where, and I'll tell you it'll be in a big American city, and it will be for a limited viewing. But nonetheless, we will begin in earnest to produce that show as well. So big things ahead. You can stay abreast of all of it by joining us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. During our pre-show, we talk an awful lot about it. We're also going to be doing some weekend programming on Phil TV on philhenryshow.com to inform you more about that. And some other things as the summer months approach, especially toward the 4th of July, we got to have to do another yucca party.
Well, I don't want to be around for that because that is absolutely the yucca is the tequila, right?
Yeah, everybody talk about it too.
Well, yeah, the yucca's tequila, and no, I'm not forcing anybody to be. First of all, the thing about tequila is I don't want anybody around that isn't used to drinking that stuff because it's only a disaster. You feed tequila to the wrong people, it's not good, you know.
But what kind of people you ought to feed it to?
Well, first of all, you don't want to give it to an Indian.
Will you shut up, man?
What a racist.
That's not racist. That's good common sense.
Is that right? Well, I wouldn't give it to you either.
Why? I'm not an Indian.
No, but you're an idiot.
Yeah, man. Ha ha. Starts with an I.
Whatever.
No, but I just think that that kind of blanket idiocracy... to borrow a word, all I'm saying is tequila is not for everybody. So when we do our yucca demonstration for our Phil TV viewers, just keep in mind that if you're doing tequila, whether it's a margarita or whether it's just a regular tequila, whatever the hell it is, some people get crazy on that stuff. It's like loco juice for some people. It really honestly is. And if you have a party where you're serving tequila, you got to tell people. I mean, I did. I got to a point where I said, what's that? I'd like to, no, you don't get any. You don't get any. You, all of you out there, part of the Lago Volunteers.
Exactly. By the way, do you want to tell people what that means?
Yeah.
What?
You, no one.
It's from the movie High Plains Drifter, okay? To me, it's a funny part of the movie. When Clint Eastwood, as the ghost or the devil or whatever the hell he is.
Yeah, nobody knows on account of he whipped all them guys to death.
The character Clint Eastwood plays in High Plains Drifter is either the ghost of some sheriff that died, the devil, I don't know what the hell he is, but he comes into the town and he forces all the cowardly people in that town who did allow the sheriff to get bullwhipped to death, I believe, right?
Well, I don't know how he died.
Yeah, I think he was bullwhipped to death by somebody. And he was this young, brave sheriff, so the film tells us, and the townspeople were so cowardly that they allowed this to happen to their young sheriff, and he died. So now comes Clint Eastwood riding into town some years later, and he's a stranger, and he has no name, and he's spooky and weird and whatever, and he begins to sort of take charge of the situation, because the guys that bullwhipped the sheriff to death, they're getting out of prison, and they're on their way back to take out revenge on whoever put them in prison. and we see events unfold from that point.
Not going to tell us what happened, are you?
No, I'm not going to tell you what happened. No, I get in enough trouble for that as it is, but it's pretty interesting. But at one point, as he organizes the townspeople to do battle with these guys that are out of prison, he says, we're going to form a defense, we're going to deform a fence force, you know, create a defense force. What did I say?
You said deform a defense force. That, you got all kinds of problems.
Yeah, you're all jacked up.
Maybe it's fatigue, I don't know. Form a defense force.
Yeah.
And in so doing, they would defend the town. Now they say, well, who's going to be in this? And he says, you guys are going to be in it. You, all of you out there, you'll be part of the Lago Volunteers. So he's formed up this little militia to defend the town, and it is made up of some willing and mostly unwilling members of this cowardly populace of townspeople.
So it is Eastwood's, yes. Now I see, it's Eastwood's indictment, if you will. It's Eastwood's indictment of the existential cowardice of man. And I think to that end, he reminds us of Sartre. He reminds us of Jean Cocteau. He reminds...
Margaret, I can't... No French cinema, okay?
I'm trying to give people a view as to Eastwood's interior landscape. Oh, to hell with it.
Yeah, nobody cares about it. You and your...
Yeah, go ahead.
Easy, all right? Don't start a fight where there isn't a fight.
No, it's just that Brains over here wants to start telling me how to critique movies.
No, but everybody doesn't care anymore.
Just take it easy. I think there's a time and a place for good film critique, a time and a place for good film review. I love those. But by the same token, you know, they bore me. I don't know.
But you said you like a little see a movie, though.
I do. I mean, I will tell you, a bad review, if I, like Roger Ebert, I respected him. And Charles, who's that guy from the LA Times? Champlin, is that it?
Yes.
I respected him. And Judith Crist, there were some that I would read. I'd say, now I'm going to read her review. And if she says it's a good movie, I'm going to see it. Because every movie that they review, I always found every movie that Roger Ebert liked, I liked. So I would read reviews. Some people don't give a damn. My ex-wife, Maria, she'd read a review of something, and the review would be this. Don't go see this. Please don't go see this, because the stink you'll never be able to wash off. It could be something that bad. And I'd say to so let's go see it. And I go, well, wait a minute. The reviewer, who cares? It looks really interesting. And I got to tell you, she was probably smarter than me, you know?
Yes, she was smarter because she was going her own way. And again, there's that song. You can go your own way. You see?
Well, you review things. Don't you? Doesn't it bug you if somebody ignores your reviews?
I don't review things the way Doug Danger does. If I say that a play, and most of the things I review are theatrical, if I say a play is unwatchable, and people say, thank you very much, I'm going anyway, I am offended, I am hurt, it's almost like taking a knife to an eyeball, but it doesn't mess my day up. You see, and that's the difference between me and a lot of reviewers. They are simply too married to their job.
Wait. You just said it's like taking a knife to an eyeball.
Yeah, but it doesn't mess up your day. That doesn't make no sense at all.
Well, it makes sense to me. All right, Brains?
Brains. Look, Margaret, if you take a knife to the eyeball, to me, that's something's going to jack up my day.
Well, it doesn't mess up mine.
Yes, ma'am.
End of discussion.
All right, Doug Danger is going to be on with us here in a moment to review 300, the new film called 300, The Creation of an Empire or The Destruction of an Empire, or it's something having to do with empires and the Greco-Persian. I don't know, man, but we're going to review that and perhaps some other celluloid recommendations with Doug Danger, who is the entertainment critic of the Orange County Courier. Coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our
like
bitch.
I don't like it when the one
Phil
with
Henry
the fake
Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, when you're talking about these films, 300 and 300 Rise of an Empire, you're talking about the Greco-Persian Wars that happened around 500 BC. And what was this? This was an attempt by each of these empire states to defeat the other. The Persians ultimately were defeated in an effort to conquer Greece. They overran and burned Athens around 480 BC, but in the following year, the Greeks combined with a sort of a confederated force, a group of various city-states in Greece, and went on the offensive, defeating the Persian army at the Battle of Plataea, and that ended the Persian invasion of Greece. Now, 300 is a film, and then 300 Rise of an Empire, the new movie, is a film of the same events, the same time frame, only a bigger view of it. It's as if you zoomed out from the battles that took place in 300, zoom out, and you see the larger context of what's happening between these two countries. Joining us from the Orange County Courier is Doug Danger. He is our he's our entertainment reviewer, and he's on the line with us here from Santa Ana, California. Doug, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right.
And Doug, so people know, you are a gay man and a gay journalist, and the reason why I say that is it's something you are very proud of.
Well, I don't like to... yes, I am very proud of that. Coming out of the closet has meant a great deal to myself, and certainly in the years since, maybe 2 years since, we've seen the rise of an effort toward gay marriage and gay rights in general. I just want people to know what side of the fence I'm on. I'm a gay man, gay journalist, and I feel that being gay and coming out gay has helped me in informing my abilities as a reporter. My honesty, because if you've lived gay and you've been gay, and you go down the gay road, and you are a gay reporter, you are gay honest, and gay honest means gay good, and gay good, that means you're a damn good reporter. I like to think that I am. I like to think that I am, but others may not think that I am. I like to think that I am. Am I? I don't know, but I like thinking about it.
But you are. In your opinion.
Well, you like to think you are.
Yes, I do like thinking about it. I like to think that I am, but I don't like thinking about it. I misspoke there.
What's that mean?
What it means, Bud, is that I like to think that I'm a good reporter, but to think about it bugs me. You see what I mean?
You don't like dwelling on it.
I don't like dwelling on it, no.
All right, well, in any event, the movie 300, tell me a little bit about this film. Why are we fascinated with this movie?
Well, Phil, we're fascinated with this movie simply because it's the new stage for this constant, epic, and almost iconic and almost archetypal battle that goes on in the minds of the human race, inside the brain of every human, and that is the battle of good and bad, the battle of progress versus regress or regression, the battle of building as opposed to deconstructing. The battle of the future against the battle of the past. You know, I mean, we are all, especially as Americans, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and as a gay man and a gay journalist, I remind people that America is about the future. It's about changing for the better, changing toward the future, and there's always forces that want to drag us back. When I say I'm a gay man, a gay journalist, and someone says, don't say you're gay, I'm the force of the future, not for that person the force of the past. Okay?
All right, I understand that.
All right, so this movie... is about progress. You have the Greeks, you have the Persians, and I don't want to seem like I'm a racist or some kind of anti-Persian or anti-Arab or however you want to put it, but I think in these films you see the Persians attempting to overrun Greece, burning Athens, and attempting to co-opt the seat of Hellenic and Western education, and the Greeks hold up a hand and say, you will go no further than right here. You, all of you, you, just as you were saying, you know, all of you, the Lago volunteer, whatever the hell it was you were saying, and you're going to keep out. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, that's significant. And I'm gay, and so I feel I can tell that story just as good as anybody else. And the fact that some other guy wrote this movie bothers me, but at least it was written.
Because you might have written the story?
Yeah, we are. That took us back a little bit.
It took you back or it took you aback?
I'm sorry, it took me aback. You wished you'd written this movie, huh?
I really do. I really do. But someone else wrote it. A straight guy wrote it. Okay, I guess. Whatever. It looks interesting, and of course, I would. I'm going to go see it because I have to review it. But I think everybody ought to go see this film. I think everyone should take note of the violence of the way that the human race has developed, and the way that the long road that we have to go before we finally get this thing. Before we finally reach that point of perfection, which I don't know when that is, millions of years in the future, something like that. I don't know.
Well, all right. So, and by the way, this brings a lot of history to the screen, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It's history that's really, really ancient history. It goes way, way back to a time when there were years that were in the negative. And here's the part of this movie that I'm trying to explain in my column tomorrow morning. These battles took place. They didn't take place in like the year 12 or 35 or 1961 or 2013. They took place in minus years. Okay?
Well, you're talking about B.C.
Yeah, are you talking about before Christ?
I'm talking about before, yeah, B.C., but that means minus. See what I mean? So you got to go backwards.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I think most people understand that.
Well, I don't know who you're talking about, because when I try to explain this, in my column tomorrow, I'm going to say that these battles took place in years that were minus Jesus' birth. So they were minus 499 years.
Why don't you just say 499 B.C.?
Well, all right, you can say 499. What does that mean, 499 B.C.?
499 B.C., that's the way they say it.
No, I know they say, but nobody explains what that means. I'm trying to explain. That's minus. Jesus is born. Now we're going backwards. Okay? Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to say.
I'm saying to you that for years...
Phil, you don't need to yell. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I think I've taken enough abuse.
No, I'm sorry. I'm saying that before the birth of Christ, those years are known as before Christ B.C., and so they are counted, yes, we count backwards. So 1 B.C., 10 B.C., 20, and on down, we're talking about years away from, in negative terms, the birth of Christ. So there's like 1,000 years before.
Right, but who understands that? So I'm trying to explain it's minus Jesus' birth. So it's like we're going back in time.
No, it's not going back. Yeah, we are going back in time.
Well, but you're going back in time if you go back 10 years now. Yeah, I'm trying to explain it in a way so people don't understand it.
What makes you think people don't understand it now?
I'm telling you right now, Phil, if you tell the average person, this took place in 49 B.C., to go, what's that mean? I'll say before, they'll go, yeah, before Christ, 49 B.C., but what does it mean? 49 years before Christ was born.
Right. So why is that so hard to explain?
Because I'm afraid some people aren't going to get it. It's hard for me to get.
So how are you explaining it?
I just got done telling you. I'll tell you again. In my column, I'm going to write, this took place 499 years minus Jesus. So there wasn't no Jesus. See what I'm saying?
Are you going to say that in the column, there wasn't no Jesus?
Oh, man, you want $300 worth, don't you?
Excuse me, Doug. No, I don't. I'm saying, though, that your grammar, if it reflects your writing, is atrocious.
Margaret, I write to... Oh, baby. I write to communicate with people, okay?
You know, you don't scare me at all. If it's on, it's on.
Oh, listen to this, will you?
Come on, grow up, you guys. All right?
Well, I'm telling her right now, and I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist, all right?
I know that, Doug, and that's fine. I'm asking you, are you going to use the same kind of grammar in your writing that you just used now?
I'm saying to you that if it's 9 B.C., that's minus Jesus Christ 9 years.
And that's how you're going to write it?
Yes, because if you say 9 B.C., that doesn't mean anything to anybody. You might as well be speaking Swahili, man. And I ain't saying nothing about black people. I could say any kind of weird language like Mandarin Chinese, Eskimo. You could be speaking Eskimo. You could be speaking, you know what the weirdest language is for me? Gaelic. That thing the Irish speak, Phil? You ever seen that, Phil? Phil?
Yes, 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 I have.
Okay, all you gotta do is say, yes, I have.
Yeah, well, everybody know about Gaelic.
Oh, is that right, Brains? You know.
Hey, let's knock off with the Brains nickname here for Bud, huh?
Yeah, shut up about it.
Tell me to shut up. I'm a gay man, gay journalist.
I'm the one that called him Brains, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bud.
Yeah, well.
Oh, boy. You guys are real turn sissy, haven't you? Let me tell you something, okay?
No, wait. You got to answer a question for me. Now we're taking a break, okay? So I'll look forward to your column.
Yeah, you're taking a break. Now, just think of it this way. This took place 500 years minus Jesus. So there wasn't any Jesus for 500 years, for another 500 years.
And that's how you're going to write it?
Yeah, that's how I'm going to write it. This took place 500 years without no Jesus.
And, oh, God.
Yeah, that, you know what? Now I've decided I am going to use that kind of fractured grammar just to piss you off. I'm Doug Danger, gay man, gay jerk.
All right, Doug, thank you. We had to cut you off. Actually, we didn't, but I just felt like it. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Phil Hendry.
Done it on a second time.
Look, Bud.
Oh, hold on.
Well, hold on, Bud. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch. Bud Dickman is reading from the history of...
Well, he's reading the history. I don't know why you've allowed this.
Because I got a call from David on the hotline.
Better believe it. Mr. Hall is very concerned that I'm not being given a full equal voice.
All he wants to do is this to make the show sound worse than it does.
That is a terrible thing to indict a man for.
Well, I stand by it.
Well, I'll tell you, my son, I'll be in trouble now.
Can I finish, huh?
Sorry, bud.
May I finish? Yeah, I got a couple of things I want to say, too. Now then.
Jesus.
The Delian League continued a campaign against the Persia on the next three decades, beginning with the expulsion of the remaining Persian. At the Battle of Yarmouman, well, that's not your mama.
Yeah, you trying to be funny, man?
No.
The Battle of Yarmouman.
The Battle of Yarmouman in 466 minus Jesus.
Will you get out of here with minus Jesus, okay?
You're the one that said Doug Danger should have every right to say that.
I argued with him about it. What are you, crazy? He's the nut that...
Well, how am I going to do it?
I'd stick with what Doug said, since he is he's from the paper of record.
Since when's the Orange County Courier the paper of record around here?
In Jesus minus 466.
Get out of here with Jesus minus 466 B.C.
All right, suit yourself. It's your funeral.
What's that mean, my funeral?
In 466 B.C., the league won a double victory... of the NBA and the hot... No, I'm sorry. The league won a double victory, final secure freedom. Get out of here. I'm bored with it.
Yeah, no kidding. So much for classical education, huh, bud?
Whatever.
See, that's right there is proof positive. You know, you gotta... It sounds sexy and exciting when you first delve into it, but if it means real study, forget it. He's bored with it. What are you going to do now?
Probably go back, see if there's a pretty good online game to play.
Exactly. Okay, so, by the way, tonight I believe they are celebrating the 70th birthday party, the 70th birthday of the man who was most instrumental in getting the Barclays Center built. What's his name? I don't know, but I do know. I have inside information, and maybe I shouldn't say.
Well, that's a big help.
Well, something. But no, there is a celebration in the offing for the birthday of one of the figures instrumental in getting the Barclays Center in Brooklyn built. And it is, I think it was a genius move. It's just an absolute genius. Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, which is part of New York City. Brooklyn became a part of New York City in 1898. Before that, it was a separate municipality. In fact, New York was much smaller geographically, not just by Brooklyn, but I think Queens and some other areas that were not directly affixed, if you will, or directly bordering Manhattan. And I guess there isn't anything directly bordering Manhattan since it's an island. But Brooklyn became a part of New York City in 1898. And there never really was a separate municipality of Brooklyn after that. But it remains distinctive. And of course, it had its baseball teams, even had a football team, I think, there for a while. And now it's got its basketball team, and I'll tell you, it's just caught fire. It's caught the imagination of the people there. And the Barclays Center, as it's been called, is the Madison Square Garden of Brooklyn. So I wish them all the luck in the world, man.
Well, are you saying that you want to see a baseball team come back to Brooklyn? Wouldn't that be a coup?
I don't think it'll happen.
What are you talking about? That could, it may be.
Well, I mean, maybe. An expansion team? I doubt it. Baseball right now is probably right at its limit, if not needing to, shed a few teams. I mean, there's been teams on the bubble for a few years now that they got to get rid of. So a brand new team and three major league teams in New York? I don't think so. They'd have to build a ballpark, too.
Well, they already did.
They can't play in the Barclays Center, you moron. It's too small.
Oh.
They can't play there, man.
Yeah, they've got a roof on it.
They play on a roof.
It's too small, man. You got to have a big thing. It's configured for basketball and hockey. It's not, you can't play baseball in it. But, yeah, they'd have to build a baseball stadium. There's no talk of bringing a baseball team to Brooklyn. Are you nuts or something?
I'm saying now's the time to start thinking about it because I think the imagination for this kind of thing has caught fire. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, they'd have to, I don't see the Mets moving there. The Yankees sure as hell ain't moving there. And that would mean an expand. Oh, I guess you could move a team.
Why not one of the teams that is not doing well? One of the weaker teams. Which are they, Bud?
I'll tell you right now that, like, what's that team? The Kansas, Minnesota Twins stink.
Minnesota Twins?
Yeah, they have nobody go see their game.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I've heard about them in the Kansas City. And the Kansas City, whatever, the Kansas City Rabbits or the Bears or something?
The Kansas City Bears, huh?
What's the name of the Kansas City team?
The Royals.
No, it's a different Kansas City then.
What other Kansas City team is there, man, that they're going to move to New York?
I said the Kansas City Bears or the Rabbits.
There ain't no Kansas City Bears or Rabbits, man, unless they're minor league.
All right, then maybe it's minor league.
And there ain't no Kansas City Rabbits or Bears at all. There's only one Kansas City team, the Royals. I doubt seriously that they're going to move them to Brooklyn, New York. There have been a few teams that have not done well in terms of the financials. I don't know which ones they are. They've talked about one of the teams they solved the problem was the Montreal Expos. They moved them to Washington. Okay.
They moved who?
The Montreal Expos moved to Washington and became the Nationals.
Oh, my God. Is that who they are? Because, Ryan and Gloria Perry, you know them?
Yeah.
They called, they said, do you want to go see the Washington Nationals? And Frank was, oh, my God, and he was all excited. I said, okay. But I had no idea that they were from Canada.
Well, the organization was up there as the Montreal Expos, and they moved because they were not financially viable in Montreal.
I don't think Canada, they don't understand baseball up there.
Get out of here, will you, bud? What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
They know baseball in Canada.
They're not playing baseball up there, man.
That's Canada. How could you ever say that?
Will you get a clue, you jackass? Of course they understand baseball, and they've been playing baseball in Canada. That's like saying they don't understand baseball in Japan.
Well, do they?
Yes, they do. They understand it so well, they're kicking ass on us. Yeah, they understand baseball up there. They just don't have I don't know, man. Montreal was not a good baseball market. What do you want me to tell you? There must be a good baseball market in Canada other than Toronto. And maybe Montreal is a good baseball market. Maybe the damn team, maybe the stadium sucked. I don't know what it was, but they moved down there. So there's a few others. They want to move them to Brooklyn, maybe. But boy, three Major League Baseball teams?
Well, they had that at one time, Phil. They had, Frank told me,
well, sure, they...
Hold on, I'll do it. They had the New York Yankees. They had the,
They still got a New York Yankee.
I know that, I'm just saying. They had the New York... The New York Yankees, the New York Dodgers.
No, they had the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Brooklyn Dodgers.
All right. The New York Yankees, that's one, right?
Yes.
Well, what's with you?
Well, you get to it, Margaret. There's three teams... There,
I'll do it. I just don't want to be rushed. Hold on. Which one's the New York Yankees? Oh, well, you know what? Never mind, Mr. I've got to get going, Mr. Impatient. What a rude, crude slob.
Oh, God, Mark, I'm going to sit here waiting for you.
It's the New York Yankee and the New York Mets.
No, she's talking about when they had three teams.
Yes, they had the New York Mets, the New York Yankee, and the New York Dodger.
No, you're wrong. May I say which one?
No. What do you mean I'm wrong?
The Get David, please.
Yes, please do get David, because I think he's the only one that...
You're kind of butchering it up, Ms. Gray.
David.
I want Margaret to take part more in the sports. Hold on, Daphne. Daphne, don't get out of the car when it's still rolling. We're coming up to a donut shop. All right. Wait for the car. Can you hold on for a minute, Phil?
You called me.
I know I called you. Hold on for a minute. Honey, don't get out of the car when it's still moving. Don't get out of the car when it's still... Right there, Dunkin' Donuts or Winchell's? All right. Hold on until the car stops. She's trying to get out of a moving car.
Where are you going?
To a donut. She wants to get a dozen. Okay, now the car has stopped. Go. She's gone. All right. I'd like Margaret to partake in more of the sports. To that end, when you do these quizzes, let her be the one that does the quiz. You know, are you giving away a prize?
No, we're just having a general conversation on one of the teams. What were the three major league teams that were in New York City when they had three major league teams? Because we were sitting here talking about the Brooklyn Nets.
Was the Nets one of them?
Baseball teams. Baseball.
Oh, okay. All right, you got them? Are they hot? They're not hot. She wants to go back inside. Let's wait for the car to stop. She wants to jump out of a moving car.
Why?
Because there's...
Donuts?
All right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, watch out. She get too big.
She ain't too big. So, what I'd like is for Margaret to...
Yeah, I understand. Be a part of the...
What a... Boy, you really were... You don't like being told that I have to be a part of the show. All right, listen. And Phil, don't talk to David that way about his fiancée.
I'm not talking to him anyway. He's got a girl there. She's getting out of a moving car. She's going into Winchell's. He's the guy that's setting it up. He's teeing it up, man. All I got to do is hit him out of the park.
Yeah, he's teeing it up. All Mr. Henry has to do.
I understand. Just don't, you know, he loves her very much.
Well, she apparently loves her donuts so much that she can't wait for the car to stop. She's getting out of a moving car. Never mind.
All right. The New York...
The New York Giants.
Excuse me. The New York Giants, yes.
The New York Yankees.
The New York Yankees.
And the Brooklyn Dodgers.
And the Brooklyn Dodgers. There you go. The Brooklyn Dodgers. All right. Now I know. The New York Yankees. And what is the New York Giants?
That's the San Francisco Giants. They used to be in New York.
The San Francisco Giants used to be in New York. And what's the football team?
That's a football team.
They're still in New York.
Yeah, they're still in New York. What do you think they went on to beat of it? Ow!
Would you shut up? They're still in New York?
Yes.
And the Boston...
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn Dodgers are still in Brooklyn.
No. No, they're not.
What do you think? What other team called a Dodger? Ow!
Shut your hole. The Brooklyn Dodgers are L.A.
Yes.
See, that's all we have to do to remain friends. Bud, shut up.
Gonna hit me and everything. Ow!
Shut up.
Quit hitting him, Margaret. All right, we'll be right back. God.
Oh, take it easy. What a lightweight.
We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Now that I've got that figured out, if you see a woman jumping from a moving car, that would be David's fiancée, Daphne, especially if it is near a donut stand. All right, coming up, some sports news, continued sports news, of Soledad O'Brien and Bryant Gumbel and Gumballs. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
What if Bryant Gumbel had Gumballs?
The Phil Henry Show.
That is filthy and crude.
Bryant Gumbel's got Gumballs.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. On the line with us is Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're talking with Brad briefly here in this segment about the selection of cheerleaders and the professional sports cheerleader, the professional team cheerleader as opposed to the amateur cheerleader. There is a feature online today from 14U News, which is a website, showing a gallery of some of the great cheerleaders over the season, 2013 and 2012. I guess some of the great cheerleaders that we've seen over the last 12 months. You know the gallery I'm talking about, Brad?
Yeah, yeah,
this is showing the cheerleaders both from the professional ranks, as you mentioned, Phil, as well as the amateur college ranks, and a great many of these young ladies, Phil, are well known to the fans of the individual teams. Just to give an example, the Miami Dolphins performing with their cheerleaders this past season in 2012 had a number of cheerleaders that caught the eye of agents, if you will, modeling agencies and so on and so forth, and making contact with them when I was in Miami. And also the San Antonio Spurs seemed to have a number of young ladies that were contacted for professional contracts.
You're talking about what kind of contracts?
Well, things like modeling, perhaps print modeling, as well as video or film modeling, perhaps an opportunity to be on camera for commercials, like for cosmetics, for that kind of thing, clothing and so forth. I have to tell you that my business has been over the last several years the commercial business. I am also called on to judge at some of these cheerleader tryouts. I'm called on to judge at different competitions. And the idea that you're going to get a big money contract from being a football cheerleader or a basketball cheerleader, that just has never really been the case.
I don't think there. How many of these girls think they're going to get big money contracts?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I want to think that most of them think they're going to get big money contracts. I don't know what your information is, but I feel that hopefully almost all of them think they're going to go into movies.
What do you mean, hopefully? That sounds weird. Here's my take on this. I think that the average woman today, a young woman who becomes a she may believe that someone may see her, her face may stand out, somebody may call, you know, but to get a big money contract.
The average woman is what? You're saying you have a little more of a different view. I don't think you've got a realistic view, or else I'm really wrong about this, but I have been judging these cheerleading competitions for about 3 years, and I would say every single one of them believes she's going to go on to become another big-name movie star like Angelina Jolie or Jennifer Aniston or some, you know, big-time performer like that, you know. I'm not sure what your information is.
Well, it's 100% of them.
I got to believe that. Yeah, I have to believe that. I have to believe that they're all so, excuse me for saying, that they're all so naive that they think being a cheerleader for the Charlotte Bobcats, you know, not to be a cynic but or to be sarcastic, but to be a cheerleader for the Charlotte Bobcats, they're going to sign a contract and be in the movies, yeah.
Okay, but you see, when you say you got to believe that, you have to believe that. What is your evidence that they all think they're going to sign big money contracts?
Because they're cheerleaders. See, one of the things that I pride myself in is I pride myself in believing that the women that, if you're a cheerleader, are you trying to tell me that a cheerleader gets it, that she thinks that, well, this is fun, but I'm going to go back to school and become a cardiac surgeon? I don't think so, Phil. Look,
I'm telling you that everybody's different, and to say that every single woman is so dumb.
I didn't say dumb. I meant dumb, if you want to get right down to it. You know?
All right, then you said dumb.
I didn't say dumb. No, sir, I did not say dumb.
But you meant to say dumb.
No, I did not mean to say dumb. I said naive. What I meant by the word naive was dumb.
All right, so you meant dumb.
I meant dumb, yeah.
Then they're all dumb. And they're dumb enough to think they're going to get big money contracts by being cheerleaders.
Like, if you look at the face on this one girl that is cheerleading for the Miami Dolphins, her face looks like there's clown makeup. I don't know. I do not subscribe to the belief that women that are cheerleaders are smart enough to know anything other than what they are fooled into thinking, which is they're going to become movie stars from being cheerleaders.
And you're basing that on what? You're basing that opinion on what?
I'm basing my opinion on what? Take a look at them. I mean, they're about as.
So they look dumb?
I didn't say dumb.
They look naive?
They look like they're... If you look at the average cheer... I'll go over here to this website that you were talking about, Phil. When you look at these cheerleaders, what are you looking at? You got this dim look. Now, there's a way of spotting it. They have a big, beautiful smile, but if you look at the eyes...
Are they dead eyes? I've heard this term, dead eyes.
No. They're not dead, but they're glazed. There is a film. There's a film. The eyes are filmed over with what looks to be almost like a I don't know. It's just, it's not a clear stare. There's a fog. They've got fogged eyes. Now, the fogged in eyeball, coupled with what they're doing for a living, being a cheerleader, leads me to believe that they are not bright enough to think that they're going to be anything other than movie stars. So when they don't become movie stars, that's when the drug addiction and the alcoholism kicks in. And
that's when what? You come in and save their lives?
I didn't say anything like that, Mr. Henry.
Well, you see, what you're saying is you pride yourself on being smart enough to see that these girls are dumb enough. How many of them have you actually seen lose it because she didn't get a big money contract?
I mean, I can't say that I have seen any of them lose it, but I've been with a lot of them as they've begun their descent into, well...
This man is... you are unconscionable, Mr. Rifkin. I don't know how you do what you do for a living.
What do I do for a living?
It sounds to me as if you're a professional cheerleader,
Phil
Judge.
Phil Hendry.
I don't think that that's...